commodity broker Gordy Kulovitz with Chido Commodities joins us for the weekly Ag Market Recap. Gordy, it could have been a great week. The weather seems to be helping the bulls. The USDA even helped the bulls, and still kind of like we fizzled.
Well, yeah, I mean, we're still closing okay. I mean, like this morning, all the wheat made a new contract high. And, you know, didn't necessarily close on a screaming move. It backed off to close at the low end of the range, but we still made a new high for the move. You know, and like I say, we're kind of breaking out on the beans. The corn broke out. It wasn't a great breakout, but it's still, you know, it's a breakout. And, you know, but it feels bad because, I mean, we keep getting selling out of these rallies, you know, and it just, again, it's like, you know, the last month or two, it feels like the market's been in free fall when it's been going sideways. And, you know, we broke out and we're moving higher and all kinds of good stuff, but the market feels crappy because we keep making a big run and then we fizzle back and give back a bunch of the gains. So it's still been a fight. And it's interesting when the number comes out, just like it did in June, everybody's comment was, boy, that's a game changer. And the report in June, within a couple of days, we were in free fall again. So I think everyone's just terribly nervous that that's the situation. But if you look at the numbers inside the USDA numbers, pretty friendly stuff. I mean, you know, the assumption they made, there's still plenty of room for increasing demand. They slashed demand. And, you know, they're still using record yields in the east and some pretty high yields in some of the western states that probably aren't supported by the real world. So another week of hot and dry is certainly going to start taking the edge off. And I talked to a couple guys today who said they're actually seeing bean fields that are beginning to kind of yellow up or turn brown a little bit, at least in spots, and that's early. So, I mean, you know, that kind of stuff starts happening, rains aren't going to matter.
Well, I saw moisture stress in the last 2 weeks. I've been from Faribault to Redwood Falls for Farm Fest. I've been down to the farm in southern Minnesota. I've been up in Dakota County, over to the Goodyear County Fair in Zumbrota. And you see spots in the bean fields and the corn fields that are really hurting. And, boy, we haven't seen that for a while. The last couple of years, there was just green, perfect from end to end, but not this year.
Yeah, Minnesota's kind of, you know, been the garden spot the last couple of years. And even some of the garden spots we had earlier this year have definitely suffered from the dryness. And then, again, you look at the drought monitor, a big chunk of Iowa has been suffering from it, and they're still using really high yields on the USDA report. And then again, like record yields elsewhere. And again, Champaign got 11 inches of rain overnight. That's too much rain. And they've been having some dry spots along the way. And earlier they had another big rain event that was probably too wet. So, I mean, again, you know, if they're talking an average yield, I'd say we're probably in the ballpark on the eastern half of the grain belt. But record yields, that's still a bit of a slog. So we'll see, you know. And then again, they cut demand. And like I say, some of the stuff they cut demand, it doesn't add up. Like I mentioned before, Kenya, they dropped Kenya's imports of wheat by 12% because Russia doesn't have the wheat. And I'm like, well, then wouldn't they just buy it from somebody else? I mean, I think Kenya's got the ability to buy grain from someone else. So that demand probably still exists. So, you know, they cut the world demand at the same time they cut the supply, and I'm not sure it's that quick. So I think demand is still there. And again, like here in the U.S., they cut, you know, corn and bean demand pretty aggressively in exports and feed. And, you know, that seems kind of hard to picture happening. So still, my guess is down the road, you know, there's room to put that back into the equation too.
Just kind of mind-boggling to me that the last number of USDA reports going back to the acres and the projected acres and the supply-demand reports always have been a little friendly as they're ratcheting down production in yet the market doesn't care much.
Well, I mean, the commentary last night, some of the guys on Dow Jones were instantly dismissing the report, saying, well, you know, the marketplace has got it all factored in at this point, and we're probably fine until, you know, we need to go further along to see where we're sitting. And I just like, wow. I mean, you know, bullish reports used to mean something. Now they don't really mean anything. It's just kind of odd. But again, this is a kind of a little bit like what happened a year ago. You know, we had ground-changing reports, and the market just sort of drifted up. You know, each report got more and more friendly, and the market never put it all together and just rallied. It was just a nice, slow grind. The difference that helps this year, though, was, you know, a lot of the end users really haven't picked anything up yet this year, you know, and I think they're going to need to scramble. And we've been seeing, I think this is, what, the eighth day in a row now, we've seen some kind of, you know, export sale announcement. So as you move forward in time, you know, that's probably going to get more severe. And when you get the domestic end users, like, you know, crushers and the ethanol plants and stuff like that going, it starts getting a lot more entertaining. So there's a lot of upside stuff that has to be fixed in the market yet.
And then there's South America. We haven't talked much about that this week because of the USDA report and what was going on here. And the USDA did take the corn crop, second crop of corn, down a chunk, though, didn't they?
Yeah, down to 87 million metric tons for Brazil. And but again, the locals down there are dropping even more, so there'll be more cuts to come. And again, you know, it sounds like the final number could realistically be in the mid-60s, you know, for the corn crop, maybe low 70s. I don't think the USDA will ever get down that far. I mean, that would be a stretch. But, I mean, just taking it down another notch to the low 80s, you know, and again, they're dropping the crop that far, and they still aren't raising imports. One would think that with, you know, the crop getting smaller down there, those imports need to be made up somewhere. And, you know, with everyone else having issues, you know, it would come to us. And again, India, big country, a lot of people to feed, and they're having a pretty good, you know, or lack of a monsoon right now. So my guess is, as you move forward, they're going to need to import more. So like I say, world demand could be one of the big surprises this year. Is China may not be as big a player as they were a year ago, but still a big, big player. And then you throw in India and some of the other places, you know, they're going to more than offset that. So I still think there's a really similar setup to a year ago, where demand is bigger than expected and the crop will still be smaller than expected going forward.
And the livestock this last week, we had some action there too.
Yeah, I mean, you look at the cattle market, how we've been kind of rocking and rolling in the last couple of weeks, and, you know, it's kind of weird. We're kind of going sideways, but with some vigor to it. You know, we had a big reversal day on Friday last week, and then we came out this week, and it's really interesting. I mean, for the most part, our lows are bouncing off a 10-day moving average on these Octobers, and we keep bouncing up, but we're not able to break out on the thing. Where the real actions occurred is in the October hogs. They've been kind of under pressure, and on Tuesday they kind of pushed down, and they got fairly close to the lows. I mean, we've had some spikes down here over the last, call it 9 months or so, where they got down about 81 cents. And on Tuesday morning, they got down to 83.3, getting down to some pretty low levels. And they had a bit of a reversal, and they finish off the week on a bit of a rally at 86.52. So pretty much closing back where, you know, we started last week, or I should say finished off last week at 87.60. So we're still down for the week. But it feels a little bit like maybe these hogs have kind of put in a bottom. They got down to about a 25, 26 cent discount to the cash hogs here in August, which kind of firmed up as the week went on. They're flirting with 110 here this morning. And, you know, the attitude is everything bad is going to happen to the hog herd in the next 2 months. And again, you know, boy, what helped, and again, yesterday we got news out from Tyson, who said they're going to be raising the price of meat, poultry, pork, and beef to the consumer going forward. And, you know, it doesn't make any sense that they'd be raising pork prices if they think it's going to drop $25, although, you know, multinationals don't really care about the real world. They just want to take home big profits. But the bottom line is the net result is it gave the meats a little bit of a bump, and I think that's what kind of helped push the hogs up at the end of the week as well.
So when we come in Sunday night, Monday, it's still all about the weather for the time being now?
I think so. I mean, probably what kept a bit of a lid on the corn is there's some forecasts for rain out there for the middle of the week. But if you look at the forecasts, you know, you pull up a, you know, AccuWeather, one of those, and see what they're looking for weather. Yeah, they got some showers midweek, but they're basically, again, in that 30, 40%, you know, window. So, you know, a couple tenths of an inch, and, you know, doesn't sound like that's the drought-busting rains that they really need in some of these places. You know, I just pulled up Des Moines weather forecast, and, you know, it's rain, but, I mean, you know, it's not a ton. I mean, in the meantime, you know, it's not, and again, it's not excessively heat. Through the weekend, it's in the mid-80s. You know, by next week, we push up, and, you know, so Wednesday, they got a chance. They're calling it 2/10 of an inch. So, yeah, it's 86 degrees, and you get 2/10 of an inch. And then the next best chance is a 35% shot, and then you go another week and a half with another 30% shot. So, you know, it cools off into the mid-80s as opposed to the 90s, but it's still, you're only getting a quarter inch, half inch of rain a week. You're still falling behind the curve, and I don't think that's going to cut it. we need, you know, some good soaking rains to recharge the soil moisture and give the crops a chance to actually use that moisture. And not getting it. And again, to the east, you're getting some areas that are getting too much rain where they get these big blobs of thunderstorms hitting them. And in the southeast is going to get a tropical storm that might dump, you know, multiple inches of rain on them with another one that's potentially following a week later. So, you know, takes a lot to get a record yield out of a country. And right now, it doesn't look like we're on pace to get there.
Commodity broker Gordy Kulovets.